David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and this is Stacey from The Advisor. And today I'm very excited because we have two special guests today on this show, and it is Mara Siegel and Ken Ashby. And they have an amazing topic that they want to talk about. They've been on TEDx talks. They have been doing, you know, devoting their lives to this topic, and they are just amazing. They have a great background that they're going to share with you, and they want to master the relationship for the human connection, you know, when it comes to at home and at work, you know, having that human connection with your partner, your friend, the people that you work around, because it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be a relationship where you're married. It could be at work, you know, relationships around us worldwide. But the question is, how do you keep those healthy human connections with these people that you are with all the time? How do we actually listen to the person, understand who they are, communicate, connect, and have healthy, happy, and productive relationships with these individuals? And Maris and Ken are going to show you how today. So guys, tell everybody a little about yourself, what you do. I'm very happy to have you both on this show. You guys have an amazing story, and I'm just, you know, so excited to have you both on today.
Thank you for including us today, by the way, and for all the amazing work that you're doing with your show and offering phenomenal visibility and just and really engagement with people and connection, right? Human connection. So your setup for this conversation is really perfect. Yeah. Do you wanna jump in for a second?
No, I was just gonna say the same thing. We're so happy to be here. And as we were saying before, that you spend every show that you have, you're connecting people with a relationship that they have. And I think that that's the area that we're working in, is this relational intelligence, relational leadership, the way you understand that there are thousands of relationships in our lives, and the ones that we pay attention to and the ones that we have respect for and that we have a responsibility for, and a couple of characteristics strengthen the ability of a relationship to survive, to thrive, and to be productive. And whenever we have those relationships where we decide we're not going to be resilient, we're not going to hang in there, it's too hard, or we have a relationship, I don't know where this person is, I don't know what's happening, or that we haven't reframed our approach to the relationship. So we're focusing on those four factors: respect, responsibility, reframing, and resilience, as the key to building thriving relationships and recognizing that our human story is governed by relationships. I would just add one more thing that we kind of came on this. I'm a singer-songwriter for many years, all my adult life, and we realized that, think about your favorite song, your movie or book or Broadway play, they're all written about one thing: relationships. Every one of those has a relationship at the center, and many of them have multiple relationships and connected and strategies. So everything we do in life is so powered by relationships. Wars are started by relationships or ended because of relationships. And Maris and I were reading the other day that corporations spend about $97 billion in 2023 on customer relationships, and they think that's going to grow to $230 billion in the next 10 years. So the money's going there, and we get to work on our own personal area of this idea that we're in a relationship revolution. Yeah. I kind of went on and on, didn't I?
No, yeah.
You should smack me. I was just going on and on.
It was great. And look, I think that, you know, the bottom line for all of us, and I think certainly we saw this during COVID, we are all connected. right? We're all connected as humans first. That is the bottom line. We're all connected as humans first. And every single bottom line in this country, business, personal, it doesn't matter. Every bottom line begins with a relationship. That's where it starts, right? So, you know, for us over the years, you know, we've been in the relationship marketing space for years. We've been executive producers for years, you know, produced Super Bowl halftimes, parts of the Olympics, papal visits, I mean, all kinds of amazing things and very culturally rich experiences too. So part of how we really launched our leadership coaching business is because we were in the relationship marketing business for years. So we would get hired by corporations, not-for-profits, global commemorations, and they would come to us as kind of the culture people and say, okay, we want to create this amazing event experience celebrating the 400th anniversary of America, you know, honoring the Native American, you know, tribes and commemorating their participation, looking at our history. The Pope is coming. We want to handle something, you know, with the Pope's visit. Brands, you know, across the board from large finance companies to an IBM to a credit card company coming to us to really support building their relationships with their clients. And in the end, it's all the same. We're building relationships to support people feeling something that drives an engagement. So we talk about informing, inspiring, engaging, and empowering people and teams across the board, because that's how we live prospering lives and thriving lives. So that's kind of the cornerstone of the work that we do, and centered around these four universal relationship rhythms, and really looking at what are the best ways to bring the strengths, the people skills, and our soft skills forward at a time when hard skills used to be all that. These soft skills, these relational skills, how we're communicating and connecting with each other, are equally as important now as the hard skills. Because the only way we're going to get moving through those hard skills is the human connection to be able to drive, whether or not it's AI, whether or not it's straight corporate business, it doesn't matter. The human connection, the people power will always be paramount, no matter what. And that's the center of our work.
I think it's amazing. I think it's so important. You know, the corporate industry has invested a lot of money into building relationships, but I still see in the small business and the medium-sized business world that there is still a lot of hardcore communication going on, and that softness, that empathy, that, you know, caring and inspiring talks, I think are missing from a lot of businesses. I think people, you know, even though a lot of people realize how important it is, sometimes I will work with clients and they're not utilizing those skills yet. You know, they're still in the old school day, you know, or they have a lot of stress on them and they're not really, you know, verbalizing the right way to connect with their employees or the people at home, or the, you know, because usually when a person has trouble at the workforce and they're not communicating well, even though they go home, they still have those connections of connecting and having those meaningful relationships. They're lacking those skills at home as well. So
I'm so glad you said that, because we talk about these are not skills, professional skills or personal skills. These are life skills that are about, and when we talk about these four key relationship rhythms, and you think about them in terms of rhythms, and why do we say rhythms? Because when we wake up in the morning, we always have a choice. The one thing we know above all else is, besides change, we also always have a choice. Now, in the moment of choice, it's a question of, are we choosing to respond or react to what might be happening in our world at that point? Right? So those choices impact whether or not we're making these choices at home or at work. Every choice we make all day determines our future. Mm-hmm. So if we're feeling badly about ourselves and something's happened at home and we take that to the office and we start our rhythm in this head-banging music because, you know, God only knows the dogs have been on the bed at this point. The kids are asking for breakfast. The alarm clock is late. I'm already on my phone. I've answered 12 emails. And that's before I even got in the shower, right? Seriously. So think about that. And I just described the experience of how many billions of people on this planet.
Yeah.
So that's the whole point of really what connects us first is we're all connected, looking for opportunities, looking for possibilities, looking to have a great life, have romance, have a great business. We're all in search of the same things. And so that means that the skills that we learn in our business life equally work at home in our personal life, because we're learning how to communicate clearly, how to address expectations, because those are two of the biggest issues that actually support building or breaking down trust. So these skills and these skill building and...
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
When we look at this and we say, okay, let's look at each of these, respect, responsibility, reframing, and resilience. Mm-hmm. Within each of those, there are key tenets, there are key rhythms that we know work. And always those rhythms begin with the most important relationship first, which is with ourselves.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's just to add to that, this morning idea, this morning choice that we all make is really one of responding or reacting. So when you wake in the morning, are you just responding, or are you responding, or are you just reacting to whatever the new thing is or whatever the shiny object is that comes into your life? We just we just wrote an article for the Best You magazine, and it was called the RSVP pause. Mm-hmm. So we all know we've gotten RSVPs in the mail. You get an invitation to a certain party and it says RSVP. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean react.
Right.
It means respond, please.
I do get a little excited though when I get a wedding invitation in the mail. So my reaction might be a little excited.
Yeah, but when we get those invitations and it says RSVP, we take a moment and we respond versus reacting. We don't just say, oh no, I'm not going to that. No, we think about our schedule. It's put in front of us, so we have an opportunity. So this idea of responding versus reaction, we recommend taking this RSVP pause when you're confronted with something and say, okay, I can react with a knee jerk, or I can just breathe for a millisecond and respond.
Right.
And we get into trouble as humans. We get into trouble from our reactions. And our reactions, you know, as well as we, reactions have nothing to do with the present moment.
Right.
It's all from the past.
100%. In our book, The R Factor, we did not want to write a how-to book. We wrote a really, you know, we wrote basically a fiction. It's a story. And it's a story about these two individuals. She is a big concert promoter, producer, and she's a single mom, and she travels all over the globe with her work. And then he is a really successful finance guy by day and a singer-songwriter by night who wants to be a more full-time, who wants to be a more full-time singer-songwriter. And what you see in this story is they find their lives are out of sync. And they, along the way, they start to identify these four universal rhythms: respect, responsibility, reframing, and resilience. And they recognize how they are showing up in their personal lives and their professional lives, and the impact of how all of those, when working together, how they create this energy, this flow, which is what we've talked about with us. Because people always say to us, wait a minute, hang on. You're a couple in love and you work together 24/7. How do you do that without killing each other and still have a personal life? It's hysterical. I mean, it is the one thing people ask us. And when I tell you, down to Ken and I were in a meeting many years ago. So we were in a meeting many years ago and we were preparing for this meeting, and it was with a governor, and I'm not going to say which one, it's with a governor. And we were really careful about people knowing we were working together. I mean, obviously the people who hired us knew that. And even though we weren't married yet, that we were living together and we were a couple, et cetera. We walk into this meeting and we sit down for this formal presentation. The first thing the governor says is, "So, how does that work?" we just started laughing.
It's like,
we just looked at each other and went,
"Yeah, I don't care what you come here to talk to me about, but just tell me how that works."
It was so funny. And what we realized in that moment, not that we hadn't known it, but in that moment was, wow, there's something that works between us. And what is that? And is that something we can take and apply? Because we were already using it in our business. So right. Is this something we could take and apply? And so we launched a leadership company because we recognize that the gap between these issues are always the people challenges, the communication, yeah. The people skills, et cetera. And so we launched our leadership company to really build on and meet that need in the marketplace and to really support large and small scale companies into this next evolution of their business.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I think that's fabulous. I also would like to know, how do you guys not kill each other? Many people have asked me the same question. They're like, you know, if you work with your husband, you could do, you know, you could make your husband's business thrive. And I'm like, and then my husband will look at me and I'll look at him. He's like, no, we can't work together. We'll end up killing each other.
Yeah.
Well, I would just say, I used to say, it's just because Maris does everything I tell her to do. Mm-hmm. Yes.
On some days.
But first I would qualify that by saying I ask her first what she wants to do, and then I tell her to do that. But I think we looked at our relationship and said, you know, based on these four relationship rhythms, we respect each other. So we have deep respect for the qualities that both of us bring to the relationship, because without that, there is no way to have a relationship.
Oh, 100%.
Secondly, is we are responsible. Both of us have a responsibility. It's not one or the other. We are both equally responsible. And understanding that is crucial. And, you know, resilience, certainly, there's ups and downs. Sometimes I make a mistake, you know, once a year. Once a year, I'm working on 2050 right now, but resilience is crucial to all of our relationships. 100%. And then this idea of reframing, you know, that maybe things aren't just black and white. Maybe there are other possibilities. And in the world of quantum field, I'm sure you've heard of this, that there are infinite possibilities for everything. It's not just one or the other way. So really, blending those things into our lives, I think makes us, and I really love her too. And I know that I'm a lucky guy. So I would say that as well. That's how we work together.
I think the notion of, and this is why we say, yeah, look, we are a blessed couple. There's no question. And it takes work. We have a lot going on in our family right now. We've had some urgent issues come up over the last year. And, you know, I've said to Ken a number of times, thank heavens it's now versus 5 years ago, because we've been doing so much work over the years, right, to really to do our own work. And, you know, I think that one, we also really enjoy each other. I mean, you get to, as intense as the work is, we also play as hard as we work, and work also becomes play. And so when you're in a space of really following your passion, you know, the walls, there are less walls, and there's just this flow between the space. And so we're in this space of play. And the other thing that is really very important, and this is something I hope that people take away with your teams and at home, is replace judgment with curiosity and discovery.
Yes.
There's no need to be in judgment. There's really no need. Judgment doesn't serve anyone. Judgment only creates a space of closed energy, right?
Yes.
When you're in this space of responding versus reacting, when you're in a space of communicating clearly, when you're in a space of really
being curious,
bringing discovery forward and hearing somebody and looking at that situation saying, huh, I wonder why that person said what they said, or I wonder why they reacted the way they reacted, or I wonder, to be in that space of childlike wonder. And it changes everything, because when we also approach leadership from that perspective, and we come at it from a heart space versus just the head space, the heart space allows an openness of just being an exploration. I wonder about that. Mm-hmm. What would it be like if I listened differently, right? All of these things that are so important. And wow, what if I saw this from their perspective versus just what I'm bringing to the table?
Right.
These seem so simple, but these are the things that within these four R's are really about how we live our life, being authentic, right?
Yes.
How we're communicating. When we're communicating with each other, this expectations piece is huge. Expectations without agreement create premeditated resentment every time.
Yes.
So right here, that. So when we're communicating, part of what works is the clarity of our words with each other, not making assumptions.
Right.
Right. And so,
and being aligned with our expectations, you know, being aligned, because as soon as we are not aligned with our expectations, then, as Maris said, it creates premeditated resentment. This idea of, we can look at our lives and say, I think one of the things that supports us is not taking things for granted.
Yes.
If you look around your life, the things you take for granted are the relationships you're going to lose.
Yes.
Because every time we take something for granted, and we, as you told us a story about one of your working situations, and somebody stepped over you and didn't offer support.
Right.
That taking for granted a human is crucial in every aspect of our lives. So pay attention to what you're taking for granted. And one great way to not take things for granted is, another secret for us is basically gratitude.
Yeah.
Where are you? What are you grateful for? How, in any situation, with any person, there is a moment of gratitude. There is a recognition. There's an opportunity for gratitude.
And really acknowledging. I mean, I think the, you know, when we look at what is going on in the world right now and in the marketplace, like, right? We are so divided in terms of politics. We are so divided in terms of social justice. We are so divided. I mean, the divides are there.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Until we step in from a humanity perspective and shifting the divides in our own lives, with our personal relationships, with our friendships, with our spouses, with our family, other family members, with our partners, and in business, unless we start doing it from the inside out and seeing our role in that, will any of this change? And so, you know, we have, over the years, we were just honored with this remarkable Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award for volunteer service. And I bring that forward because It was a remarkable experience going through a lifetime of these incredible organizations we've gotten to volunteer with and support. And as we looked for the list, and we looked at respect, responsibility, reframing, and resilience, we looked at the list and we said, this is interesting. How many of these organizations no longer exist because they couldn't figure out the communication challenges, their financial structure, they're like all the things that it takes. And in the end, where their challenges were, it came down to people. Where their successes were, it came down to people. So when we went back and looked at that list and we said, you know, in the end, the human capacity is what's going to fix or fail this planet, period. And so that's where we all come in. And so when we can be clear in our communications, then, you know, God bless the people, all these people right now who are suffering because there's war going on in the world. The human atrocities going on this planet right now. And yet in our own backyard, we're facing the same issues with hunger, homelessness, and violence of all types.
Yeah.
Take care of ourselves first, work on ourselves from the inside out. And when we're in the business setting, when we can bring gratitude forward and acknowledge our teams, simple things, every day bringing forward a win on the team, because the team gets to feel the success and the accomplishment of that. And your team at home gets to feel the same. So every day it's an acknowledgement. It's a thank you for listening. It's a creating a practice that you do with your teams in the morning, a gratitude practice, or with your family, whatever that looks like. And if you're doing it on your own at home, then do your gratitude practice by taking the 20 minutes of either prayer or meditation. Look at yourself in the mirror and acknowledge yourself for what occurred yesterday and for what you have coming up today.
Yes.
Because we can always call on that gratitude all day long. When we're in the middle of choice and craziness, and life is facing us with an opportunity and a challenge.
Yes.
Breathe. Face it. We have something called freely acknowledge current emotion. Face it. Just face it. Freely acknowledge current emotion and just own what's coming up and be grateful for the opportunity.
100%. 100%. I feel like in today's world, we are lacking respect for each other. Like we have the lack of respect for other human beings has decreased, I feel, you know, over time. You know, people aren't respecting each other. And like you've mentioned before, which I think is so important, is that just because someone has a different belief or a different way of doing things, you know, we should respect that and not place judgment on that person. We can't expect others to live their lives according to what we feel is the right way. It might be the right way for us personally, but it does not necessarily mean it's the right way for others. And people need to respect that. And, you know, I think there is a lot of labelism in our society. There is a lot of stigmatism, you know, that, you know, there is a lot of hating just because people aren't doing things the way they think it should be. You know, I don't know where all this hate came about, but it just came in big clusters. And it came, you know, in a very powerful way. And we need to stop and pull that hate out. And we need to start respecting each other as human beings. Because like you said, without the human connection, we have nothing. We have, this world is nothing without human connection. Even animals connect in packs. Mm. Everything connects, you know. We need that connection. And in order to connect, we have to respect one another. And we, like you said, we have to have gratitude for each other. It's not about what they're not. It's about what they are, you know? And I think people have to start looking more positively at situations and people and not look at their flaws. Because, you know, if you really think about it from a psychological point of view, when you look at other people's flaws and you focus on what they're not, it's usually because you're not wanting to focus on your own flaws and your own imperfections. And
that's
it's a great
mirror. Seeing the mirror, right? Because everybody really is a mirror of us in some way. If I'm not feeling good about myself, I'm probably seeing that in some way in someone else. Mm-hmm. And Yes, and that you're so right, and that shows up, and it's one of the reasons that we talk about. It's an inside-out job.
Mm-hmm.
Most people were not taught growing up about how to treat ourselves first. I came from a very close family, close Jewish family, close, you know, religious Baptist family. His dad was a Baptist minister. And over the years, we were always taught how to treat other people.
Yes.
So what's so important now, and it's so much we spend our coaching on, is helping people feel like they belong first to themselves, right? And mm-hmm. so the idea of loving first from the inside out, kindness first from the inside out, right? The human consciousness, this connection, the power of understanding that if we're not respecting ourselves and respect and treating ourselves respectfully, and the messages we're telling ourselves, I'm not good enough, I can't do it, then it's going to be difficult for other people to ultimately treat us that way. And one of the things we say at work is, remember at work, when you're in a work environment and you're meeting people for the first time and you've got people on your team and you're working on a project together, remember first, not the negative in this person being in this environment, but this person was hired into this company because they came with gifts.
Yeah.
Be curious about what their gifts are, so that when you're in a room with them, whether in a meeting or on a project, your curiosity goes to, what can I learn from this person? What can I gain from them? Versus being in a situation that says, they're not this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different reframing. It's a whole different perspective on that.
Yeah.
We get to, you talked about the divides and the separation, and we have something that we call the legacy separator, legacy separation. So much of our division and our comes from not something we experienced, but something our parents,
generational,
their parents, or their parents before them experienced. This legacy separation, we buy into it without asking, as the great book, The Four Agreements, I'm sure you're familiar with, this book asks, we grew up in cultures, we grew up in a certain lifestyle, we grew up in a certain family, but we, as adults, we get to look at it and say, do I agree with this?
Right.
So this legacy separation comes from taking something for granted. Okay, well, I'm a Baptist.
Or that's the way it's always been.
Or that's the way it's always been.
Versus
so this legacy separation is something that I think we're all beginning to now realize that, if we're going to turn this corner, if we're going to see people coming together, and then we get to revisit, what is it that caused me to think this way?
Right.
What I agreed to that led me down this path.
Right. I like that. You know, and it's so true. A lot of people do things not because they really want to, because they feel they have to, because that's the way mom and dad did it. And their mom and dad did it because that's the way their mom and dad did it. And the fear of disappointing their parents, even when their parents have passed on, there's still worry about disappointing them, making decisions accordingly to what their parents would want, instead of stopping for a second and say, what do I really want?
And giving a permission around that too. And, you know, it's interesting, over the years, we've been, you know, blessed to produce some pretty phenomenal global experiences, all tied to relationship and leadership. And had there not been, when I think about the Pope coming to Ground Zero, and I had responsibility there too. I had been working on the recovery effort for a number of months. And years later now, as Ground Zero now was, its pit was being filled up, the foundation was being built. Pope Benedict came to to Ground Zero as kind of just before it got filled in and was being built. And the experience for me to be standing there, I mean, seriously, nice Jewish girl, I'm sitting here looking at this moment, creating a moment. There are probably maybe just 30 of us standing on this riser that we had put together with the families and the governor and the mayor and people who had lost generations because their parents or grandparents or, you know, had passed away already. And there were also three generations standing on the platform, which was also remarkable. And up above was about 300 media way up above who were shooting down into the, you know, into this one spot. And what was really remarkable to me as I look at that moment, you know, the Pope had this commitment of heart to want to be, because that's what popes do. That's who they are. They are at the heart there of the people, right? Right. And I stood there watching this moment as he lit the candle. And I realized, okay, nice Jewish girl, Baptist people, Catholics and Christians and all types of people who are standing at this base. Wow, if the world could just recognize that this moment is what united us, it's not yeah. what divided us. And it was such a powerful moment and so humble. And looking at that and saying, this is what businesses get to be. This is what families get to be. This is what our world gets to be, is this recognition of what unites us first, is the respect of what unites us first, is the responsibility of standing in that space and recognizing I have authority in my business to be able to support my people, to be able to give them strength and authority. That's what's going to rise my business. And that's what's going to rise my family. And so for us, it's a passion. Yes. We are committed to connecting millions of people and getting them to commit and shift a culture to really be human connection first.
Yes. It is so important that they make that connection. And it's so important that we learn that this is an ongoing lifestyle that you should incorporate into your life and not wait for tragedy to happen. Because a lot of times I feel like we go through a cycle where, you know, tragedy happens, everyone unites. And then as time goes on, you start to see a little bit of separation. And then, you know, and then you see more separation and then something happens and then everybody unites. So it's like a family that when you think about your family and everyone starts to get married, then they have kids and then you see less of them, you know, and it's only, you know, only once in a while where you have those big parties where everybody comes that you see everybody. Well, why does it have to be like that? Why do we have to wait until something happens for us to be united as one? Why can't we develop the skills and apply them to our daily lives so we can have that united way of living, so we could have that respect, so we could have that resilience, so we could apply those methods of framework that you discussed into our daily lives, so we could have that human connection with people at work, people at, you know, the people we live with at home, and the people, our friends and people that we meet, you know, why do we have to, you know, apply it just when it's the right time, but apply it all the time.
Well, and, you know, and the bottom line, you know, what I've heard you just ask a couple of times is why? And here's the reason for the why is because it's a choice. Mm-hmm. It's a choosing. And it's a collective choosing. And it's a collective choosing that says, I am committed to creating an R factor life of respect, responsibility, reframing, and resilience. I know that I get to be supported and I get to support other people. And simply stated, that's what it takes. And it takes a recognition that, you know what? It's okay if it's messy. I mean, I was probably the least vulnerable person on the planet in terms of having people see my vulnerability. I could always be vulnerable for everybody else. And what I've learned over the years is that if I haven't learned how to accept support and see my weaknesses, then that doesn't work in a personal relationship nor in a professional relationship.
Right.
I mean, you know, I think that I would have to say that probably one of Ken's biggest challenges over the years with me was really getting me to trust that vulnerability could be my superpower and to trust that this person would keep showing up for me and vice versa. Right. Because why? Because I have a baggage from the past that I was hanging on to.
Yeah.
But when we come into a business and a personal space from a place of curiosity, from a place of knowing that I belong here, I belong in this job because they hired me to meet a need. I'm meeting a need. I'm in this personal relationship. We meet a need for each other. And in our professional lives and personal lives, it's all the same thing. And so I think that if we commit to an R factor culture, to this relational intelligence, this consciously connecting, I think the world would be a very different place, a very different place.
Stacey, you raised something with one of your whys, which I love that you asked that. Why? You're curious. This why of why do we have to only when something bad happens? When something, when we have those tragic moments, family-wise, country-wise, world-wise, when we have those moments of tragedy, it breaks us out of the taking for grantedness.
Complacency.
It breaks us out of what we've taken for granted and living in that state of taking for grantedness. It breaks us out and we get, it's that smack in the face. It's that I could have had a V8, you know, whatever. dating myself a little bit there. But it's unfortunate that that's what it is, and that finding a way to break ourselves out of that taking for granted, whatever it is, before the tragedy happens, is the way we can connect always. Yeah.
And that's why we're creating the lifestyle. And it's what you said earlier. It really is adopting a lifestyle versus a moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
That this is how we live our lives all the time. And that if we live our lives in that space, then when it's messy, it's okay, because we know that we're resilient and we respect the situation we're in and we're responsibly navigating our way through and we're seeking and accepting support, right? So now all of a sudden, so if you look at any of the, any situation, any of your day, and you look at it through a lens of respect, responsibility, reframing, resilience, say, wow, what's my R factor today? Okay, got it. Ooh, okay, I might have just respected myself today by saying I was going to the gym and not going to the gym.
Right.
I might have respected myself today by saying, you know what? I'm not going to the gym today and I get to have ice cream. Yes, I get to have ice cream. So it's all of that. And it's also being okay messy when we're messy. You know, and accepting that, because in a work environment, when somebody makes a mistake, if we don't come in and drop it down and say, doggone, you made a mistake and blah, 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 versus, okay, let's talk about that. What do you think happened there? Okay, got it. All right, well, let's work on correcting that. Got it. And maybe something wasn't clear in the communication. We get to understand it. First, we get to fix it and address it. Then we get to understand how we could maybe shift that the next time. Where did that land? It's a very different approach to life, is looking at life as what's working versus looking at life as what's not working.
Yes. And I think one of the important factors that you brought up earlier was that you need to take care of yourself first. And so many people have shame and guilt for not feeling that they're worthy enough to take care of themselves. They feel like they have to take care of others before they take care of themselves. And then you see the difference. You see them withering away. You can tell by their face, they're drawn, they're tired, they're burnt out. But they feel guilty reaching out and actually taking action and taking care of themselves first. And I see that so many times over and over again. But my thing that I would tell people is, how could you care for others when you can't even care for yourself? You know, really think about that. You know, you want to take care of this one. You feel like you're obligated to take care of this one, but how are you going to do everything if you're not putting yourself on the podium first, you know, and giving yourself time to renew itself?
And understanding, I think it's equally important to understand what it is that you can do for yourself. Like this permission, COVID in some ways, you know, we talk about it as our crowning transformation, because it was a remarkable time for us. I mean, during COVID, we made a commitment and we said, we want to manifest a TEDx talk. We want to manifest best-selling books. We might want to manifest, you know, launching and really growing our leadership company. And all of those things happened. And that was during a time that it could have been a moment to freeze. But it was in a lot of ways our most open space. And we're now featured in 21 leadership and personal development centered books. And then we launched our own book. And I say all this because for us, that space, the coronavirus space for us, was an open door for permission to grow ourselves, to do our own work, and to see other ways to support others. And we saw this great connection between us and this collective breath that the globe took, that was this just this pandemic pause that allowed this new space for people. And so what we're seeing is, while it has created challenges, we're also seeing the opportunity to build greater authentic connections with ourselves, with each other, and with our clients and customers that will impact our business.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. Now, tell me about the book that you published.
So the R Factor, it's really fun. So the R Factor is, as I said, the R Factor is relationship immersion, right? Where we are in connection with someone 24/7 from the time we wake up in the morning. And so this book really talks about evolving our human relationship story from the standpoint of these two individuals. You want to talk about it for a minute?
Yeah, Maris gave you a little preview of it before. It is a story. And during the story, it's not really a love story. They meet each other, but it's not a love story in that sense. But throughout the book, they connect with these relationship rhythms, respect. For instance, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he's driving down the road or coming back from the airport. He pulls out of the parking garage and there's just a big sign on the side of the building that says respect. Mm-hmm. He's like, where is that? So these things are revealed in a certain way to them throughout the book. And then they apply them to their lives, where as a songwriter, he realized that first off, he was writing good songs, but not quite getting there and realizing that he had a relationship with the song. It wasn't just about writing a song. It was about having a relationship with the song. And so he realized this respect aspect of it was one of the first places to start. Okay, do I respect myself? Do I respect myself as a writer? Do I respect what I write? Do I respect what other people say about it? Because he gets into trouble in the beginning because someone doesn't resonate with him.
He might have reacted versus responded to feedback.
That's right. So he got feedback on one of his songs and it wasn't what he wanted to hear. And he just was like, what do you know? You don't know anything about that. Obviously, so throughout the book, there is this thread that keeps going through, and then how they apply this in their lives. We try to tell that story. And I got to tell you, we had so much fun just, you know, creating the story, and yes, there's parts of it that have some of us in it, but it's not our biography.
There's also a song. So a song is also written in this throughout. A song gets written in the end and then performed as well, called Each of Us. And it talks about the role that we each have, right, in the world. And so it's a great read. It's a read now that we're actually seeing go into corporate teams. So they're reading it together because it's got all these great lessons. So book clubs are reading it. And so if anyone's interested, it's available on Amazon. I don't know if you'll put it in your show notes. Or if you just go to our website, because we also wanted to offer people a free gratitude practice guide. So I don't know if you're going to drop do you want us to give our web address or our email?
I'm going to put everything in the description box. So we'll put in the description box.
The gratitude practice guide is a great tool to be able to use in the morning with your teams, or to be able to use it personally or also individually. As well. So that's a fun tool. And then there's a link to purchase the book there if you're interested in purchasing the book.
I'd tell you a fun story about this song that Maris alluded to that we used throughout the book was a song that I wrote. And when we were doing, on the day that our book came out, we did a podcast called Beyond the Box. a great podcast with Judith Rich. And we did our, we talked about the book, and then she said, well, there's a song in here. Can you, you know, what does it sound like? Can you? So we sang this song for her on her podcast live. And she, then after the podcast was over, she got back to us. She said, I can't believe it. I've been looking for a theme song for 2 or 3 years for my podcast. So she actually took the song and made it the theme song for her podcast.
And it's amazing. So when you look at that, from the standpoint of respect, responsibility, like all the pieces that go into, and that moment of, what? You want to use my, you know, all those moments that we get into that. And yeah, it's just been, our journey has really been a blessed and remarkable one. And this human connection piece is the name of the game, right?
Yes.
In the end, that's what it's all about. Doesn't matter what interaction you're having, people first, everything else will follow.
100%.
That's the bottom line. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Now, what services do you provide to people also?
So we do, our work in the leadership space is we do business leadership coaching. And so we work very specifically with teams and individuals on the people skills and the power tools to really drive those soft skills, especially really working on that. We also host workshops. We do workshops as well, keynote speaking, and then obviously, consulting with teams as well. So we love what we do. We have great fun. And our mission is to get our book and our work in as many hands as possible, to be able to touch as many relationships as possible, to grow them and evolve them.
That's wonderful. Now, where can people find you?
Our website is Segal Leadership Global, S-E-G-A-L, leadershipglobal.com. And that's where you can also download our free gratitude practice guide. You can follow a link to purchase the book. You can send us an email there directly. And and we'd love to connect.
And before we go, if there was like a couple of turning points that you just wanted to emphasize to the listeners, what are like 2 or 3 things that you really want to point out to the listeners from our conversation that you really want them to leave with, an important message?
Well, I think from my standpoint, I would say this whole idea of what you look at, what you're taking for granted. Just look at your life and say, what am I taking for granted? And focus on that. Focus on finding the energy and finding the gratitude for something that maybe you've taken for granted for too long.
Right.
Yeah, I think there are a couple. One is the idea around choices. The choices we make all day determine our future. And we always have a choice in whether or not we choose to react versus respond. So I think that's a big one. And the other, which we see all the time in our coaching, is great communications drive prospering individuals and teams.
Yes.
Right? Because great communication builds trust and aligns expectations. So
words matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I got to tell you, today has been an amazing day. Your conversation just blew me through the roof. I think both of you are spectacular, and what you're doing is spectacular. I really appreciate you coming on the show. This is a topic that really a lot of people really need to understand, learn more about, and really apply it to their lives. You know, the concepts that you talked about, the 4 R's that you mentioned, people really have to, you know, look and understand what each R represents and then apply it. How can think to themselves, maybe meditate on it. How can I take those 4 R's and apply it to my daily life? And if people could actually do something like that and take the time to really try to better themselves in that aspect, I think the world would be a much better place. And I think, you know, relationships at the workforce, at home, like we mentioned, you know, friendships and just overall conversations with individuals, I think would go a lot farther and a lot more productively. So, you know, I commend you on what you're doing. I think it's a wonderful topic that you're discussing and teaching to others. And I hope that you can come back on the show. Maybe we can talk some more. You guys have been great. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much. And thanks for everybody who's listening.
Yeah, we look forward to hearing from you.
Yes. You have a great day.
Thank you.